Well, good morning. I want you to hear me say first and foremost, Jesus is Lord, and he is here. And now I want to get your attention. I want to get your attention with some realities. Number one, these are troubling times, and we are in dark days. We are dealing with global food shortages. Famine and starvation is spreading. The reality of COVID and its far-reaching pandemic problems continue. And today, as I speak, there's a new, mysterious, potentially monstrous monkeypox on the world stage. At the same time, there are storm clouds of wars and rumors of wars that are continuing. And moreover, we have the nuclear armed antics of those that are threatening and saber rattling to fear and put fear in amongst the people all around the world. At the same time, as these threats are echoing around the world, the screams of millions of children being murdered and dismembered in their mothers' wombs are silenced. And as if that weren't enough, here in our country, in the United States, we are actively and intentionally, I believe, being unraveled as a culture and as a society. Influentially, economically, socially, morally, spiritually. Think about it. Our international voice has lost its inspirational valor. Our inflation is soaring while our markets are crashing. Our people are hurting each other more and more, being more divided every single day. Our government is telling people wrong is right and right is wrong. As a nation speaking, hate is winning and love is losing. And where do you find the church in all this? Sadly, sleeping in many cases, or even worse, we have those that are spreading the poison in the name of Christ. Let me give you two examples just from this week. The Evangelical Lutheran Church, a denomination of over 3 million people, have come out and said officially, quote, "We must support abortion," end quote. Let me give you another example. A local congregation in Florida, a Church of Christ, has seen fit to allow their building to be used by an LGBTQRXYZ organization to have a conference complete with a drag queen show in the church building. Now, let me just ask those of you that are familiar with your Bible, think about the time that Christ invested in making a whip to then go into the temple, flipping tables and driving out the money exchangers. What do you suppose he might do if he were to show up and see this kind of perversion happening in what is supposed to be his house? Friends, all of this from all over the world, it's only getting worse as it echoes and mirrors the very warnings from God's word that are screaming out to us from the pages of Scripture. I say to you, friends, wake up. Wake up. We are living in Matthew 23, 24, and 25. If you don't know what I mean by that, please get a Bible and read Matthew chapter 23, 24, and 25. You will see that we are actively right now living in that prophetic end times modern day version of Sodom and Gomorrah. We need you, friend, you need to get ready. You need to be ready. You need to stay ready. We learned that last week. Do not be caught flat-footed when the Lord returns. And don't trust your empty lamp and your religiosity. Friends, with that said, I'd like to frame our time together today by asking you a personal question. What is it going to take for you to be a light in this world? What's it going to take for you to see and be a light in this world? and even more, to be the light of this world. That's what Christ has commissioned his people to be. This is who we're commanded to be. Let me just be clear so there's no confusion. I want to answer that question for you so nobody goes away with their own concoctions. Here's what it's going to take. It's going to take the miraculous grace, the saving gospel grace of Jesus the Christ, to transform you by giving you that grace that will bring with it faith, repentance, and perseverance. And then your part, it's to faithfully obey. It's to live out in the tension of God's sovereign grace and human responsibility. I hope, I pray to show and prove this to you today from God's word. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, I have a simple prayer. Save us and sanctify us. Everyone within the sound of my voice needs one of those two prayers answered by your grace and for your glory. May no one go home the same or feeling untouched by this truth and love. I pray it all in the powerful and precious name of Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. Well, friends, we're going to continue on in our series called Perspective. We're walking through Psalm 119, and today we find ourselves in verses 105 through 112. I invite you to get in your Bible and come with me. We're going to use some other supporting scripture today, but that's the thrust. And like all of Psalm 119, we're going to see yet again that the blessed people are those who hear and those who heed, walk the talk of God's word, God's will, and God's ways. We've seen last week, we focused on verse 105, and we saw Jesus teaching in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, about the contrast and the clarity of those who would be blessed versus those who would be cursed, those who are ready and those who are not, those who would go into eternal joy and those for whom the wrath of God awaits. We saw the stark contrast. And we noted that this was the loving word of our God, because he wants no one to show up on judgment day and say, "But Lord, Lord, I thought," and hear him say, "Get away from me, you evildoer. I never knew you." Like Eli's sons, don't think that because you had a resume and some experience in the church that that somehow makes you a child of God. You can be in the building and not be in the body of Christ. You can be religious and have never been redeemed. May we understand this. In fact, this is the timeless truth for today. I pray you'll take away that blessed biblical blessing, blessed forgiveness, blessed perseverance, blessed faith, all of this. It's always been united in the miraculous work of Almighty God and his gospel application to his people. I pray that you will never again take for granted what you may have seen or heard, but every one of us will say, "Yes, Lord," and surrender to victory. Now, when I talk about faithful perseverance today, let me just be clear again. When we talk about faithful perseverance, we're simply talking about faithful obedience repeated again and again and again. Faithful perseverance is faithful obedience repeated again, again, and again. This is why we have an encouragement to all. Pray, obey, repeat. Pray, obey, repeat. This is going to lead to the blessed perseverance. Now, I have a sense at a time like this, on a day like this, with an introduction like this, no doubt there are some who are already beginning to bristle, maybe even beginning to scoff. I want to share with you a text that I received. Literally, I received it yesterday. This text came to me, quote, "You, Pastor Jeff, are doing for the church what Peter was doing for his fellow believers thousands of years ago. See Peter, 2 Peter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. This is now the second letter I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember." I'm stirring you up, reminding you to remember. "Remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior. Remember that the scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires." I pray to God that you're not scoffing now and that you won't scoff going away. I pray that you won't leave here pursuing your own selfish desires. I pray that you'll hear the warning of God and come to worship him in truth and love. You're going to see today as we walk through verses 105 to 112, a number of attributes that are attached to in the DNA of blessed faithful perseverance. That's the message title today. Blessed faith perseveres. And you'll see a number of attributes as we walk through the verses. I'm not going to add them. I'm just going to unpack them. And so let's begin with verse 105. I'm not going to go deep here because last week we spent an entire week. I want to encourage you, if you're not familiar with this verse, go back to last week's message and the notes, and you'll see that there is power. There's power that is needed for the faithful to persevere. If you're going to be blessed and faithful and persevere, you need power. You need the power that only comes with Jesus the Christ. He said it, our church is built on it, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when my Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses locally, regionally, and globally. We sang it this morning. There's power in the blood. You need to understand what, in part, verse 105 is saying. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You need to understand that your light source must be Jesus the Christ. You need oil in your lamp. That was the teaching that Jesus gave in the parable of the 10 virgins. You need the power that is our living God. We said you desperately need the real word to really understand your world. If you're going to hope to see where you're truly standing, where your feet are right now, you need the light that is our Lord. You need him desperately. We all do. I pray that you've come to understand that if and when you've come to this reality by the grace of God, when the gospel of Jesus Christ has reached down and grabbed you out of the pit of your sin, when you've been truly born again, John 3:3, by the one Messiah, the miracle of John 3:3, through the Messiah of John 3:16, living on the mission of John 3:36, when that's you, and you know it, you're going to live differently. And so today I ask you, not just what is it going to take for you to be the light of the world? I want to ask those of you, as Jesus did oftentimes, speaking to those who would follow him, are you faithfully, truly following and not just going through the motions? If you know that you have this power, it would make all the difference in the world. Watch this as we unite Hebrews chapter 11 and Psalm 119 in our time together today. I want to ask you this, and I ask you to think long and hard and be honest inside. What would your life look like? I'm talking to you. You say, was he talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. What would your life look like if you had bulletproof faith? I mean, all in, sold out, no matter what, bulletproof faith in Jesus the Christ of Christmas, the King Christ who created all things, the King Christ who would be crucified so that you and I could know eternal life. What would your life look like if you had bulletproof faith? I mean, I'm talking like if 30 days from now you had a guarantee you're meeting God. You're standing before Jesus, just you and him, 30 days from now. And I ask you, what would your next 30 days look like? Praise God, I know some of you, and you would say, I don't think it would change a whole lot. I would say to you, that's real life bulletproof faith. But if you said to me, if I had to be honest, Pastor Jeff, if I was going to meet Jesus in 30 days, yeah, I'd be real busy changing that whole calendar. I'd be changing my priorities. Then I want to talk to you today. Because the Word of God tells us that without that faith, it's impossible for you to please God. And I happen to live in a culture, in a context, where I'm just going to shoot straight with you. I don't think a whole lot of folks care about pleasing God. And when I come into Hebrews 11, I have to remember that I'm building on the platform of Hebrews 10 that said, if that is so, and there's a commitment to ongoing sin, then you, friend, are an adversary of God, and the fiery fury of God awaits you, and it will consume you. Is he still talking to me? I don't know who I'm talking to by name, but I'm speaking to a category of people that the Bible says cannot please God. And I want to ask you, how important is it to you to please God? How about you? How important is it to you that you please God? Do you have this power? Let's go to verse 106 and watch how this continues and see how there's a harmonizing here of God's word, that you'll recognize the call to be the church, to have biblical faith, to live this out. Verse 106, this is my personal testimony, by the way. I can tell you about when I was saved, and it was verse 106 lived out. I have sworn an oath, there's a promise. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it, there's proof. The proof is that I have kept your righteous rules. There's purity. I pray that you see that if you want blessed faith's perseverance, you need to be one who's going to live out your promises. They're going to need to have the proof of fruit, and you need to follow the purest path of God's word, the narrow way. So I ask you, friends, are you willing to tell and live the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Without this kind of faith, it's impossible to please God. The kind of fruitful faith that perseveres, showing the world that your faith actually worships the Lord, that your faith literally serves as the foundation and the filter of your worldview. Everything you take in and put out goes through your biblical faith. And ultimately, at the end of the day, your faith works. And I mean that in a multi-contextualized way. Again, let me take you from Psalm 119, verse 106, back now to Hebrews chapter 11, as the chapter opens up, and hear the word of God. Take the gloves off and put the glory of Almighty God on display. Share the grace of the gospel by just explaining clearly what it says. That without faith, it is impossible to please God. Say, well, what is faith? Well, praise God, he answers that too. In verse 1 of Hebrews 11, we're told exactly what faith is. And there's some key words in this passage. We're going to look at Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. And I want to ask you to go back there over and over and over again. This is one of the passages in the Bible that will feed your soul for the rest of your life. If you're hungry for the word of God and the God of the word. Let me read for you. It says, now faith is the assurance. That's a compound word in the Greek. It means to be under a commitment. It means you are under contract. Faith is knowing that you have the title deed to what has been promised and what is at the core of your hope if you're a Christian. For faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That word conviction, it means proof. Think of it this way. You have a parallel truth in this verse. What God's word is saying is that you have, in essence, a warranty. God has made you a promise, and because it's God and he's given you this warranty in his word, because you know him, you treat it like it's a guarantee, and it leads you to worship. Because you know who made the promise. You know who's behind the warranty, and you worship him. You see, when you look at biblical faith as laid out in Hebrews 11, 1 through 6, what you and I will find is that biblical faith worships. It's an expression of worship. It's to believe the King of Kings. So much so that you walk as though it were true, even though you have nothing before you but his promises. Biblical faith is also a worldview. It shapes the way that everything happens in your life. Or it doesn't. And that's a problem. Because we only have two groups of people. There are only two destinations, two roads, the broad and the narrow. The up and the down, the north, the south, the heaven, the hell path. There's only two. So either this faith that is spoken of, this rock solid, no matter what, I'm in, if you cut my head off, I'm in, follower of Jesus, or the big belly button crowd that wants to make excuses and rationalization and cheapen grace to be this sense of a warm, fuzzy blanket where we just sing kumbaya and stay superficial and have potlucks together. See, you can do that. Play in the front yard of God's church. Never be his church. Say, who do you think you are? Well, I'm the guy that reads Hebrews 11:6, says it's impossible to please God without this faith. What do you think he means by impossible? Kind of hard? Rarely happens? Very unlikely. No, he means what he says. It is impossible to please God without biblical faith. Well, surely he'll let some people into heaven that he's not pleased with. Surely? Yeah, that doesn't come from the scriptures. That comes from my cousin Sam. He told me that, and it sure makes me feel good. In fact, I heard a pastor on TV told me that too, and I like that. So that's what I'm going with. All the way down the broad road that will lead to destruction. Again, go back, read the last three verses of Hebrews 10. I'm not coming at you out of context. This is the word of God. This is the word of God, and the God of the word does not make empty threats. Friends, I pray that you are hearing, that you will heed this loving exhortation from our Lord. I want to ask you, are you willing and wanting to be the type of ambassador for Christ that will embrace Hebrews 11:6? Will you proclaim Hebrews 11:6? Will you be like Titus 2:15? Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Now that doesn't make you a bullhorn, it makes you a Christ-like ambassador. Now you're going to need this because you're going to be persecuted. We know this from our Lord, but let me show it to you from verse 107. Here again, blessed faith perseveres through persecution. God's word, I am severely afflicted. I'm not just afflicted, I'm severely afflicted. Give me life, revive me, O Lord, according to your word. This, we hear, is the psalmist telling us, he's not just under pressure. He's literally severely afflicted. He's under constant dangerous pressure by those that want to kill him. Friends, biblical faith is severely afflicted as it perseveres because it works. If you don't want to be afflicted, just go hang out on the couch. Go spend your life on the back 40 and the devil won't bother you because you're not bothering him. But if you're going to live as an ambassador for Christ, if you're going to be the real deal, you're going to get punched in the face, you're going to get kicked in the stomach, you're going to know the best that the enemy has because you're being effective for Christ. You've got to understand and expect this persecution. And when you faithfully witness and endure and persevere, you're going to be blessed because you're being a valiant witness to the world. This is your blessing, friends. We get to be the church. Again, take it from Psalm 119, take it from Hebrews 11, but hear the word of God. This is the word of God. Biblical faith worships. It's a worldview. It shapes the way you see everything. It guides every part of your life. And it works. Biblical faith works. And I mean that on both fronts. It's effective and it's busy. Every place that you see this faith in the Bible, it's attached to action. In fact, I said to you last week in defining biblical faith from verse 1, I use the acronym FAITH. It's foundational. It's a grace gift from Almighty God. That's where it all begins. He gives you the grace to enable and enact and ignite your faith. And then in that grace, you apply that faith, which gives you access to greater grace, which fuels your faith to grow. And it's a perpetual relationship. You're going to see that here today as well, in a way that blows my mind. And I pray blesses your heart. Faith is foundational. It's a gift of grace. It's always assertive. It's always action-oriented. It always has a doing at the core of the being. So I think that's a little works-oriented salvation there, Pastor Jeff. Yeah, so did I till I read Luke 14:27 that says, per Jesus, that it is impossible to be his disciple unless you are willing to pick up your cross daily and follow him. He said that, not me. You cannot be my disciple unless you do this. So is that how you earn the salvation? No, that's the proof of the salvation. You don't get saved by picking up your cross. You pick up your cross because you've been saved. It's also not only foundational and assertive, it's inspirational. Wait till we go through all of Hebrews 11. If you doubt this, go to your Bible, pick up Hebrews 11 anywhere you want. Just read that chapter. You'll see real faith. That's the whole point, is inspirational truth and love. Well, I'm just not one of those inspirational kinds of people there, Pastor. Well, if you reject this, you reject a whole lot more than inspiration. That brings to the T of faith. Real faith is tested. That's the whole essence of spiritual warfare. That's the whole idea behind the warning of the wolves and the false teachers. The fear of self-deception and the dividers and those that seek to destroy. Jude says they're like hidden reefs that will rip the bottom out of your boat right when you're at the point of celebrating and you have no idea. Water seems calm, everything's great, and then the hidden reef just rips the bottom out of your boat and you sink like a stone. But when it all comes together, real biblical faith is holy. Those who want and hunger and faithfully obey the word, the will, and the ways of God. Those who seek first the kingdom of God, knowing that everything else will be taken care of by this King. It's his glory, by his grace, through his gospel that I live everything. This is who I am. You're going to find that that not only pleases God, but it gets a response from him that I pray will blow you away. That's where we are now, in a place that I pray will blow you away. I want to ask you, do you have this no matter what, F-A-I-T-H? If you don't, let's go to verse 108 and you'll see here again, there's a remedy. It's a beautiful grace gift. You need to pray, praise God, and do it all per his prescription. Listen to the word here. Accept my free will. Accept, please. It's a prayer of plea. Lord, please accept my free will offerings. It's my heart. It's my get to. It's my want to. Lord, please give me and then accept a want to, a free will offering. I'm giving my praise. Oh, Lord, and teach me your rules. Show me the prescription, Lord. What is it to literally live and love your way? Help me, Lord. Accept, please, my praise of you. I want you to see here, friends, that those who have blessed, persevering faith, they pray that God will help them to persevere in praise through their persecution. This is the signature of a saint. This is one of those aspects of being faithfully persevering in the power and the grace of our Lord. I again say to you, think about this. I think it's tragic that most people in the world, most people in the church world, they have no idea of how much potential gets unleashed when we genuinely praise. God has so much to show you and the world when you genuinely and perseveringly praise him no matter what. Watch this, and I pray this will change your life. The scripture goes on and it tells us in verse 2, we see faith in its worship set on display. We're told, for by it, by faith, the men of old, the elders, our ancient historical Hebrew heroes, they gained approval. They were commended, some of your translations would say. Let me just tell you up front, because I can't keep it in any longer. That word, gains approval or commended, it's used four times in this passage. It's connected to the word pleases twice. That word means witness. And I want to ask you, whose witness do you think they gained? I want you to think about this. Because they lived by faith, they gained the witness of Almighty God. What happens when you please God? He witnesses to the fact that you have pleased him. That's what this verse says. That's what this passage is pointing out. That those who receive the gift of grace and apply that faith will hear from Almighty God. He will testify through his word and in your life that he's with you. Friend, let that sink in. If you want to please him, if you want to please him, he wants to put his blessing on you so that you know that he's there with you and others will know that he is there with you. That's the essence of your witness. So when you live by faith and you seek to please him, it pleases him to show up in your life. Let that sink in. Instead of coming with our own agendas and our own want-tos and our grumbling and our petty little issues of life, if we would just surrender all and say, Lord, I'm yours. Thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for dying on the cross. I get to be your ambassador. Wow, thank you. This passage says he then shows up in your life and he witnesses to your faith, so that your faith grows internally and then your light shines externally, all missionally. Think about this. Almighty God wants to show up and let you know that he's with you. He witnesses to you. So I ask you again, is it your heart's desire to please him? Is that your passion? 1 John 5:12-13, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. God wants you to know. God wants you to know that you know. And he wants others to know that you know. By living out this faith, without which, by the way, it is impossible to please him. By this, we're told, it doesn't just please him, it brings his promises and his power and his purposes to the surface of your life. It's internally feeding and fueling your soul, and it's externally and missionally changing a dark and dying world. This is at the heart of what pleases God, what commended the heroes of the Hebrew faith. So here, friends, personally for you, you want the remedy? Pray. Cry out to Christ. Give him the plea that is wrapped in praise and it follows his prescription, that you want to be that witness. And realize that when the faithful, filled family of God's followers are living out this being, he's going to live in and through you. His with becomes your witness. Now, if that doesn't register inside and set off some fireworks, I'm telling you right now, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Ask him to help you to understand this. This is truly life-changing. If you've got the want to witness to him and be his servant to the world, he will show up, not just come and live in you, not just empower you, but he'll witness. You want to know why we see what only God can do? Because he's doing what only he can do in our lives. He's doing what we're learning here. It's at the heart of the difference between the religious and the redeemed, between the flashy and the faithful, the showman and the servants. Oh, friend, I pray that this is blessing you. You're going to need this because if you embrace the call, you're going to live with peril in your life. We know this as well from other parts of the Bible, but listen to verse 109. I hold my life in my hand continually. That's Hebrew vernacular to say, I'm constantly in danger of death. I'm constantly in harm's way to the point of death. But I do not forget your law. There's a permanence that's attached here to the perseverance. And I just quickly want to send you to Revelation chapter 2. Do a contrast of the church at Ephesus and the church of Smyrna. Ephesus is encouraged and raised up, and we're told they were doing some persevering, but it was part-time persevering. We know this because we're told if you don't come back to your first love, Jesus says, I'm going to take your lampstand away. And he did. Smyrna, we see they were persevering to the end and they received the full blessing that comes with this kind of perseverance. Friends, biblical faith stares biblical death in the face faithfully. I pray again that you're inspired by God's truth and love. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Listen to what happens now in verse 3. By faith we understand. That's the name of the message today. By faith we understand. You say, well, I don't get it. It's because you don't have faith. That's why. Well, I don't like it. That's because you don't have faith. That's why. Well, I don't accept it. That's because you don't have faith. That's why. Because by faith we understand. By faith we surrender to victory in Jesus the Christ. By faith we obey. By faith, we worship. By faith, the family of God is the family of God. He says, by faith, we understand that the worlds, some of your translation will say universe, but it's plural here in the original language. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. That means anything and everything, the cosmos. So that what is seen was not made out of things which are seen. This is to prove that our King, our Christ, he's Creator Christ. He is a creator of all things. Genesis 1 and John 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Nothing that was made without him. He's the Creator Christ. So how do you know it's the Word of God? Yeah, but I think it was written by men. Well, you have no faith. You're blinded by the enemy. That's 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's purposely blinding you to dampen your faith. 1 Corinthians 2:14, you're going to actually think this is foolishness if you don't have this faith, because it's discerned by the Spirit of God in you. Without him in you, it's impossible for you to understand. It's not just impossible for you to please him. It's impossible for you to fully understand. And what you say, no, I get it. I'm a smart person. I get it in my head. But you cannot force it down into your heart. Yes, I did. Look at my hands. Well, you know what? If it's in your head and through your hands, but it's not in your heart, you jumped over the cross. Therefore, it's impossible to please God. It's not about your resume. It's about your relationship. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. That relationship is a gift of grace, but it only becomes empowered by faith. You can't get there without this faith. This is the point. John Calvin says that in understanding this big worldview part of faith, he says, creation is the theater of God's glory in the drama of redemption. Now, I would say to you, when you get this worldview, part of what you're going to have to accept is that biblical faith divides. It's a divine divider. That's what Hebrews 10 pointed out, that those who have this faith and live by it and don't shrink back, who make it to the end and don't just start well, hello Demas, hello Judas, but those who make it all the way to the end, they won't shrink back. Well, these are the ones that are going to be in the family of God forever. And nobody goes in and out. So the question is not, are you in today or out today? The question is, have you ever come in? Because once you come in, you never go out. That's a promise of God who never changes, which we can take to the bank. You see, these are foundational aspects to our faith. Again, this is not some remote piece. This is foundational. I ask you, friends, do you realize that if you say, yes, Lord, you're going to walk a dangerous path? And when I say that your life's in danger, I'm not talking about your social life. Oh, that too may go. But I'm talking about real world danger. You may say, "Yes, Lord," and then meet him very quickly. The key is to be ready, whether it's now or later. Now, this process, you're going to deal with the profane. You're going to have to persevere faithfully and blessedly through poisons. You're going to do it all per God's precepts. Listen to verse 110. The wicked, the profane, the wicked have laid a snare for me. They've laid poison out on my path. The wicked have laid a snare for me, a trap, a poison. But again, praise God, I do not stray. I do not drift. I do not get distracted. I do not dilly-dally. I do not disobey. I do not stray from your precepts. I'm going to hold to the truth no matter what. Friends, recognize this, that Satan's profane seek to secretly poison God's people. And here's my word of encouragement to you. Beware the snares and stay tight to Christ. Beware the snares and stay tight to Christ. As we see again, wherever you go in the Word of God, you're going to find this harmonizing truth and love. Listen to Hebrews 11. Listen to verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. See, this worldview, this understanding of faith through the Scriptures, it's also going to show us that there's only two camps. There's the Cain and there's the Abel camp. There's the heaven, there's the hell. There's the dark, there's the light. There's the liars, there's the truth tellers. There's only two. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. That testimony, same word, that's witness. By faith, God showed up and said, "Oh, Abel here, I'm going to witness to his faith." So what you have here is through which he obtained, Abel obtained the witness that he was righteous. God witnessing about Abel's gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Think about this. What you and I see here, this is the beginning of the old covenant system. Abel sacrificed a lamb. Remind you of anything? I want you to think about it at the beginning. He sacrifices a lamb for himself. That becomes a lamb sacrifice that we know as Passover that satisfied a family's need, which became the Day of Atonement when one lamb would satisfy the need for a nation, which is pointing all the while to the cross where the Lamb of God would take away the sin of the world. This is God showing us the plan from the beginning. And we have contrast. The real sacrifice that is accepted and that is going to do the work eternal, and the fake sacrifice. See, what's the difference between Cain and Abel? Faith and unbelief. Faith and no faith. You say, "Well, you can't be too tough on Cain." Well, let me show you Cain, because he's here as a lesson for you and me. And we got a lot of Cains in our community and in our culture, in our context. Cain acknowledged that there is a God. He wouldn't sacrifice if that weren't the case. He acknowledged that there needs to be a higher and lower relationship, and hence the sacrifice. But he wasn't willing to do it God's way. Cain was willing to acknowledge and do some religious sacrificing, but on his own terms. No repentance, just some religious ritual. You see, Cain's the father of all false religion. It's being willing to do stuff in and towards God, but not on his terms, only on your terms. Real faith divides and separates out the religious from the relational, the real from the fake. I want you to think about this as well. Here in this verse, we also see that Abel, God's testifying to Abel's faith by having his voice continue to speak even into our time today. That real faith speaks to the glory of God, and fake faith speaks to the glory of man. And I want you to think about that contrast. A man named James Moffat said, "Death is never the last word in the life of a righteous man. When a man leaves this world, be he righteous or unrighteous, he leaves something in the world. He may leave something that will grow and spread like a cancer or a poison. Or he may leave something like the fragrance of a perfume or a blossom, of the beauty that permeates the atmosphere with the blessing of God. You and I are going to smell like something. We're going to leave an aroma. I'm asking you, does your aroma please God? Or does your aroma please you? Is it designed to please God? Do you want to please God? I pray that you do. That you're going to have a legacy, whether you like it or not. The question is, what is your life going to say after you're done talking? Again, let me make it personal. The question is, what's your life going to say when you're done talking? You are making an aroma. Let me just tell you, in our culture, I shared at the opening, we got a lot of people in church who stink. They stink in the nostrils of God. This is a call to all the foolish virgins. This is a call to all the false teachers. This is a call to all the Pharisees. Surrender to victory and come say, yes, Lord. Give your life to him. Understand that there's a question of the heart. Will you truly be blessed in your faithful perseverance? I wonder if you're going to leave a legacy like those that we see here, a legacy of profanity and poison, or will your legacy be that of purity and a pursuit after the word, the will, and the ways of God, acknowledging it's only by his grace and it should always be for his glory? You see, that's the question of verse 111. When we see faithful, blessed perseverance, it draws into question, what is the portion? What is the treasure of our heart? What do we really put our passions towards? Listen to verse 111. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. Is God's word, will, and way the portion, the treasure, and the joy of your heart? Do you have a passion to pursue his glory? God's eternal purposes and promises become the heritage of a holy man. That the Christian's treasure is Christ's truth. And we see here that faith without joy, works, and a devoted heart is a dead faith. This is the word of God. This is the example that we're given. And when you persevere in the midst of God's promises and they become your portion, you're going to be a blessed person. When you persevere, making God and his portion your treasure, you will be blessed. This is the essence of getting to be the church. This is where we see that God is asking us, what do you want? I pray that you have a want to and a walk like Enoch's. Watch this and then we'll come back. This is the essence of what we find, that biblical faith works. Listen to verse 5 and 6 and we'll close. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him, for he was commended. Here again, that same word. He was witnessed to by God. He obtained the witness that before he had been taken, he was pleasing to God. He was doing that which pleased God. He was actively oriented in his faith. And I would say this to you, in the same way that Abel points you and me to the cross and to Christ and what would happen through this glorious gospel that we have, Enoch shows you and me what happens if you embrace this faith and are this child of God. You're being told and shown here ahead of time that you will never die. That here is the gift of eternal life for those who believe and live out this faith. This is glorious. Absolutely glorious. Listen to verse 6. And without this faith, it is impossible to please him. You see, Enoch demonstrated this faith. He, like Abel, is in contrast to the rest. And Jude tells us about Enoch that he was like me. He was out getting in people's business, calling them out and saying, you need to repent. You need to understand that this is the biblical truth. Like the prophets of old, like the disciples in the New Testament, like you, I pray to be a truth teller that backs down from no one and nothing because of the glory of our King. Read Jude, and you'll find in verses 13 through 16 an account of Enoch, and he was calling people out. He was pleasing God by being the ambassador that he was called to be. It involves obedience, faithful obedience. You cannot separate faithfulness from biblical faith. You can't do it. You're messing with the very definitions of God's most core and most sacred words. It goes on and it says, verse 6, "For he who comes to God must believe." So here's a command. You must. If you're going to come to God, you must believe that he is, that he's really God, and that he is a rewarder. Again, I bring you to this great revelation. Four times we have seen that he witnesses to the faith of those who are witnessing to him. He witnesses, he comes, he rewards with his presence, with his power, with his purposes. You get to be his church, church. You get to. Is that what you want? Or do you want his church to be about you? The blessing here is that he allows you to be about him. And this passage says, for those who want that, who seek to please him, who embrace this definition of biblical faith, he shows up and witnesses to you. Think about it. Acts 1:8 is the verse upon which this church was built. We get to be his witnesses. You will receive power when my Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses locally, regionally, and globally. Well, this passage in Hebrews 11 says that when you're being his witness to the world, he's going to witness to the world that you're his witness. He's going to be in you and coming through you and letting others know. That's why so many people get upset. There's nothing worse for a counterfeit to have the authentic show up. Nobody hates the authentic more than the hypocrite or the counterfeit. Turns the lights on him, right? My friend Jeff, he's the only Jeff Needles I know. If a guy's over here and stolen his identity and is going around writing bad checks and doing bad things in the name of Jeff Needles, that dude is fine till Jeff Needles shows up. And let me tell you, then all of a sudden, we got a problem. I want to encourage you to be the real deal. To understand that faith requires faithfulness. And this is to the glory of our King. Let me bring it all together, I pray. Again, let God speak to you. Okay, if you don't like what I've said, listen to the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 112. See how your performance and your perpetuality matters. God says this really matters. I incline my heart. I incline. I am going to do. I incline my heart to perform your statutes. You see the work? You see, I pray what Spurgeon says, that even these rewards, they're graces of God wrapped in the shape of rewards. We hear, I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. The Lord himself is doubling down, again, an emphasis, forever and ever. Forever to the end. It's perpetually. If you're going to have blessed, faithful perseverance, it must go on and on and on by God's grace. And let me point out something here. I pray that it jumps off the page at you. Listen to the head, the heart, and the hands. I incline my heart. It's about the heart. To perform, work with my hands, your statutes, your truth. The head, the heart, and the hands, forever to the end. Friends, if the head is not in the heart, and the heart is not in the hands, and the hands are not doing the work of truth from the head, then it's not biblical faith, and it won't be faithful perseverance. It'll be something else, but it won't be what is blessed by God, because it's not God's truth and love. Let me bring you one more time to Hebrews 11, and then we'll come back and close. Truth is truth is truth. We're called to embrace biblical faith, to be biblical faith. And somebody's got to tell you God's word says on the chapter bigger and better than any other in the whole Bible on faith, his word says that without this biblical faith, it is impossible for you to please him. Say, well, Pastor Jeff, you're bringing some pretty serious words here. Do you know what that means? I say, yeah, that's why I'm willing to risk you being so upset with me. Because I know what it means. I know real well what it means. I've watched people go into their eternity thinking they had a tomorrow that they didn't have. I want to encourage you to say yes, Lord, to embrace the gift of biblical faith. Because otherwise, think about it, Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount doubling down on that illustration. There'll be many who will say to me on that day, but Lord, Lord, did I not build this incredible church resume and actually impress the people that were around me? So yes, you did. And I will say, away from me, you evildoer. I never knew you. Wow, who do you think that is? Well, before you think about that, let me just double down on the illustration. You see, there's these two that build their houses and they look exactly the same and everybody thinks that they're identical. But it'll be when the storm comes that the phony faith will be found out. I mean, just think about it. Jesus is teaching wheat and weeds, wolves and shepherds, sheep and goats, dark and light, children of God, children of the devil. I mean, you go through the Bible and you'll find constant contrast. It's biblical faith that is the true divine divider. As gifted and applied by the grace of God and then enacted and embraced or rejected by those that are in the small c church. You see, friends, I'm blessed to be the pastor of this church. But long before I became the pastor of this church, I was allowed to be an ambassador of the King. And my pastorate will always represent my ambassadorship. Until my life is taken, that's my commitment. And my prayer is that you will have the want to say the same thing. Oh yeah, I'm a member of this church, but let me tell you, I'm a missionary of Christ. This is what unifies us. And don't think you can pull them apart again. It's like light and heat from fire. You can't pull them apart. Faith from faithfulness. You can't pull them apart. That's the point. It's a glorious thing. Biblical faith is worship. Biblical faith is the heart of a worldview. And biblical faith works. It's effective and it's active. And when you combine all of that, you now see the glory of a biblical witness. And maybe up until today, you thought that was all about your witness. But I pray now you see in Hebrews 11, it's the witness of Almighty God that's backing up and glowing your witness to the world. We get to be this people. I pray that that captures your heart, that you realize if you want to be the light of the world, what's it going to take? It's going to require you and me to receive the miracle of saving grace. And then to live our lives as discipled warriors, learning, living out this loving representation of Christ's likeness, doing it locally, regionally, globally, through our head, our heart, and our hands, and having a no matter what commitment. Friends, as we bring everything to a close, let me just remind you, we've seen here today again that God's word harmonizes like a lamp and a light, illuminating truth and love. Whether you're in the Old Testament or the New Testament, wherever we go, if we listen to the Lord, we're going to follow him in truth and love. Remember that biblical blessing and faithful perseverance have always been miraculously united in God's word, his will, and his ways. And so wherever you are today, if you're not in this faith-based relationship with Christ, I implore you, cry out to Christ, confess and repent. Let him know that you want to be his follower. You want to be faithful. And don't stop crying out until he gives you the miracle of transformation. Friends, I know that there are going to be some who on a day like today are going to say, you know, I've had enough of this and I don't like it. I don't want it. Frankly, you make it sound so hard. Let me just wash over you with the word as we go out the door. Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Hebrews 3:14. For we have come to share in Christ if, indeed, we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Again, I know some are thinking right now, you know what? Literally, to hell with it. Don't do that, because it will be to hell with you if you choose to say no to the one true living God, who I know at least right now, he's calling out to you. I know he is. He sent me to send the message. Don't say no. Instead, think of him. Hebrews 12:2. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured. He persevered the cross so much more than anything you and I will ever even imagine. And if you say, well, Pastor Jeff, that's still disconnecting from my realities, it's tough. James 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And that perseverance, let it have its full effect, because you will be perfect, complete, lacking nothing, if you will embrace the blessed call to live out this faithful perseverance. I leave it to you in Jesus' words. He said, those who persevere, who hold firm to the end, will be saved. I pray that today God has gotten your attention with current events, but that he's grabbed your heart with eternal truth. May no one go away the same way that they came today. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, thank you so much for all that you have done and all that you have given us. I pray, Lord, right now, I pray for those who either are listening to me here or someplace else live, or those that will listen and hear this message at another time through another medium. Lord, I pray specifically for the ones that don't like it. Those who right now in their heart of hearts are grumbling. Those who may have already turned me off and only by your grace have come back to hear the rest of the message. Lord, touch their hearts. Give them the want to desire to please you, to beg you for the gift of biblical faith, that they could know what it would be to please you forevermore. For anyone who is settling for lesser desires, who perhaps are drifting away from you and your church, are being distracted and are disconnecting from you and your church, those who are dilly-dallying with lesser things than you and your church, those who are flat-out disobeying right now, Lord, touch their heart. Show them how much you love them, that you would die to give them the privileged opportunity to witness to you and then know your witness to them, that you are pleased. That is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Are you weary, heavy laden? Come and lay your burdens down. Jesus calls you, Jesus draws you, rest in him. He is gentle, he is lowly, he delights to bring us peace. Tender shepherd, mighty Savior, rest in him. How sure his compassion for us. Oh, how deep is his love. So come to Jesus and rest in him. Are you you hopeless? Are you guilty? Caught in shame for all your sin. He pursues you to forgive you. Rest in Him. He has paid for every failure. Mercy flows in endless streams. Come and follow. Freedom calls. Rest in Him. How sure His compassion for us. Oh, how deep is His love. So come, come to Jesus and rest in Him. Are you waiting in your sorrows for this broken world to hear? He is coming, soon returning. Rest in Him. We will see Him, we will know Him. Oh, what heights of grace revealed from His kindness, every promise then fulfilled. Trust in Jesus, He will keep us to the end. Compassion for us. Oh, how deep is His love. So come, come to Jesus and rest. How sure His compassion.
Your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away. And precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus. when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus. Final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, and live.